Welcome to Nightlife, the first hour.
What if you could spend your retirement years not, you know, in a retirement village or a nursing home or even in your own home, but at sea? Well, for a lot of retirees, life after work means slowing down. But for Heather and Paul Schluter, it meant setting sail. This couple traded in their permanent home for a life of travelling around the world in their retirement years. And much of this time has been spent living aboard cruise ships. Now, it sounds expensive, but they reckon that this lifestyle can actually offer freedom, community, and even financial benefits. I've certainly heard of people saying it's cheaper for us to spend our lives cruising than it is to stay home. They've even got tips on how to do it at their YouTube channel, which is called The Freedom Strategy Retirement Travel. So I'd like to introduce Heather and Paul to Nightlife tonight to tell us all about their life at sea. Hello, Heather. Hello, Paul.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us on the show. We're super excited about it.
Yeah, hello, and it's very nice to meet you.
You too. Now, look, Heather, where are you right now? Give us a sense of life at sea as it is in this moment.
Yeah, well, as it is in this moment, we are literally on a cruise ship in the middle of the Caribbean. We are in the middle of doing back-to-back-to-back cruises, three in a row. So you caught us at the perfect time.
Okay, so Paul, take us back. When you retired, what made you two go, let's just kind of spend our life mostly at sea?
Yeah, well, we had, as part of vacation when we were working, we did a lot of cruising. And so we've loved cruising for many, many years, prior to retirement. So probably for 15 years before retirement, we started cruising. And for us, it was a great way to not only see like the Caribbean in areas local to the U.S., but also areas all around the world. So we fell in love with that, and we really look forward to in retirement to being able to expand that and do more of it.
And I will jump in and say, the more we do it on a cruise ship, the more we want to do it on a cruise ship. I mean, it just sort of keeps feeding into itself.
So, Heather, what does a normal day look like for you then?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, we are on cruise ships, as you know, much of our retirement of the year. I'd say at least 4 or 5 months. And so it's kind of routine in the way that we have our little pattern that we go through. So we're both early risers. I love to get up and go out on the deck as the sun's rising and have my coffee and do my meditation. And then we get up and we also focus on our health. So we go for a healthy breakfast. We get some of our lifetime chores done. That's stuff that keeps our lifestyle going on our computers and whatnot. So it's very much like being connected at home. And then we go to the gym and we work out. I mean, we really do focus on our health. Then we go to various ports of call. And Paul, why don't you jump in with what we do there?
Yeah, depending on what port of call we're in, you know, then it's just usually exploring during the afternoon. So if we're in a city that's new to us, we're going to be out walking, checking out the shops, just getting some exercise in and seeing what that city or what that area has to offer. And then evening time for us is, I absolutely love the shows and things like that that are on cruises. Heather, you're the same way. You might spend a little bit more time in the casino or doing that type of entertainment than I do.
Yeah, there's loads of entertainment to do in the evening hours. And we do that. And quite honestly, we go to bed at a reasonable time and we wake up early. So that's kind of what our day looks like.
Yeah, it's interesting that when you retire, it's getting away from a cruise as a vacation, more as a cruise as a retirement style. So it is a different day than a vacation day for sure.
Doesn't it get a bit samey? I mean, don't you reach a point where you've seen all the shows and you've eaten all the food and it just feels like you're in Groundhog Day?
You would think that, but that's actually not the case. It is true. There are ports that we go to repeatedly. And if there are ports that, we've seen over and over and over, we often will not even get off the ship.
Okay. So what's an example, Heather, of a port that you're over? You've seen it so many times.
Well, the one we just left today, Cozumel, Mexico. We've been here dozens of times, probably. And I'd say, I'm kind of over it, to be honest with you. And that's where the actual ship, what ship you're on, does make a difference. So we spend a lot of those ports on the ship when it's quiet and nobody's on it. And we really enjoy the ship. So that's what we do when the ports are ports we've already seen a lot of times.
And I would like to add, too, I think if we were staying at home, that would be far more routine
yes.
than being on a cruise ship.
Right, because at least you might be doing the same thing, but you're doing it at a different location every day.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly.
I've got Heather and Paul Schluter with me, who are cruising retirees. And we've been learning, I've read about this a few times over the years, about people who basically said, you know, I'm just going to spend my retirement cruising. And it does sound a bit counterintuitive. You think, well, cruises are expensive. How can you possibly afford to do that as an almost permanent retirement strategy? But Heather, take us through it. How does this actually make sense financially for some people?
Well, what's wonderful about cruises is it can be a very inexpensive way to travel, and it can also be very expensive. It depends on what you do. So there are ways that you can reduce the cost to make it truly affordable to do month after month after month after month. For example, you can choose an interior cabin instead of choosing, you know, a balcony type of cabin. You can choose to cruise on the shoulder seasons, the off seasons. It's a lot cheaper that way than when you're cruising during the peak season or the holidays. So there are a lot of ways to cut the cost to truly make it economical. And when you take into account the fact that all your food is included, all of your entertainment is included, you don't have to pay extra for a gym, all of the ports of call, you know, the stops, those are all included. So you add all that up, and it is quite an economical way to travel and spend retirement years.
So, yeah, Paul, and I think also, go ahead.
I was just wondering then what kind of overheads you're left with. I think you guys do go home for a part of the year, but you know, for people who are kind of doing this permanently, do you end up with very few overheads in your normal life, your land-based life?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say, is we spend a lot of time eliminating that duplicate and that overhead. So we reduce the cars. We're down to one car that we have instead of two cars that most people would have, at least in the United States would have in retirement. We have downsized our house to a family cabin that we share with our siblings as well. So that's our home base. So it was really important for us to be able to afford this, to get rid of those duplicate costs that would come with a home base.
So Heather, how long do you think you will do this? How long does the plan go on for?
Oh my gosh, you can line up behind about 50 other people that ask me that all the time. My answer is always the same. We will continue to do this as long as we want to do it. One of the things that Paul and I are so on the same page about is we want to make the most of our retirement, and we will continue to do the things we want that bring us joy and pleasure. And if some day comes where we are not interested in doing it anymore, we won't. But I will honestly say, I do not see that time coming anytime soon. Love it.
We are not bored at all.
No.
We are not looking to pivot. We are not bored. We still love it as much as, if not more than we ever have.
So how long?
Because we are developing friendships.
Mm. How long have you been doing it now for?
In retirement, I retired when I was just before I turned 60. So 2.5 years now in retirement. And then again, many years before that, but certainly not the frequency that we're doing now.
Yeah. Okay. So about 2.5 years in with seemingly decades potentially ahead of you. Now, what happens? I've got Heather and Paul Schluter here. Now, what about medical care? What happens when you get sick? How good are the actual onboard facilities, and how, I guess, sick can you be and still stay on a cruise?
Well, I am fortunate enough to say that we really haven't had to seek actual medical care on the ship. However, I do know people that have, and everybody seems pretty pleased with the medical care they get. I will also say, if there is a true emergency, life-threatening, the ships are quite wonderful. The companies are great at recognizing this is an emergency health situation. We are going to coordinate with the Coast Guard or whoever is nearby and get this patient out to medical care where they need it. And they take that very, very seriously. So I feel like if there was any type of medical emergency that we were to suffer on board, I have no doubt that that would be handled very properly.
But Paul, what if you got to a point, I mean, you know, and you might know this from other people, where, you know, you're starting to lose your mobility. You guys sound super fit. But, you know, a lot of people, as they get older, obviously those things, even if you're not ill, you're certainly constrained in what you can do. Can, you know, people who are less mobile, who really are getting a lot older, continue to live this kind of lifestyle?
Yeah, they can. In fact, we see it more and more. I think cruise ships are really great for people that have limited mobility. I think it's great. I think the cruise lines are all very familiar and they're accustomed to helping people and assisting people that have mobility issues. We see it across the board. We see we have friends that are retired and they spend even more time on cruise ships than we do, and they're blind. So there's all kinds of disabilities and mobility, and you see that just so much on cruise ships. So I think they're very accustomed to supporting the people that need that extra help.
Yep.
And Heather, do they see that the market of people like you, people who are planning to be on cruises for months, most months of the year, if not all year, are the cruise liners themselves starting to understand this segment of the market and cater to it?
I would say yes, because what we see is you really develop a relationship with the staff on these cruise ships, and they might go from cruise line to cruise line or cruise ship to cruise ship, but it is actually a fairly small community. And what I'm seeing is that they know these people who are doing this for extended periods of time, and they become quite friendly with them as well. And so we're seeing it. And the other thing I'm seeing, which I think is a really, really positive development, is more and more of the cruise companies are having single capacity rooms, because there are a lot of people, as they get older, they don't have a spouse, they've lost their spouse, they want to do this by themselves. And it used to be you always had to pay for two people, even if you were sailing solo. But now the cruise lines are recognizing there are a lot of older people who are single who still want to cruise, and they are very much stepping up to accommodate those people.
Yeah, and if I could add, if you look at their loyalty programs that they're offering now, they certainly are geared towards repeated cruises, and to get to some of the levels on these loyalty programs, you have to cruise a lot. So they're obviously very supportive of that.
And then, Paul, you know, you both talked about community and friends. If you're kind of jumping ship to another ship every 3 weeks or a month, do you end up seeing a lot of the same people? Is that how you create community, or do you have to make a new community every time you change ships?
No, well, it's both. Obviously, you're always running into new people, making new friendships, and that's one of the things that we like about cruising. We also maintain relationships with people that we've met, and it's funny. We'll be in a port, and maybe one of our friends is in that same port on a different ship, and that happens to us all the time. And so not only is it with the other passengers that we develop relationships with, believe it or not, we develop relationships with the staff on the various cruise lines. You'll see them over and over again. So we'll walk onto a boat or a ship and we'll see a familiar face, whether that's with a passenger or with staff.
And what's the culture like, Heather? If you are going on as, you know, a couple or as a single, is it easy to make friends? Do the cruise ships kind of really cater for that, creating an environment where friendship comes easily?
It definitely, absolutely. There are tons of events, social events. It can be anything from trivia to bourbon tasting. They have all kinds of events. So people that gravitate toward one type of event or the other, they go there, they generate friendships, they talk to each other. And the cruise ships really, really do try to get people very involved and having a fantastic time. Now, having said that, it's also great if you need your alone time. It is not just, you don't have to be constantly involved in activities. If you want to go sit in a quiet corner and like I do in the early mornings, do my meditation or whatever, that's okay too. So it really gives you opportunities among the whole spectrum.
Now, Paul, tell me of all, I mean, I guess you've been to that port in Mexico more times than both of you care to remember by the sounds of it. But you know, if you go on a cruise, can you literally access the whole world, or are there parts of it that cruisers really don't go to?
Oh, sure. I'm sure there's many areas that they don't go to, but for us, it's been a great way to sample the world. You know, we've done the Baltic Sea, and rather than stay in a hotel and go from city to city, we let a cruise ship take us from city to city to city throughout the entire Baltic Sea, which included like Estonia, Russia, Finland, many areas there. We just did Dubai about 4 months ago, and we chose to do a cruise in Dubai because it took us to more cities where we didn't have to worry about arranging passports and visas and different things like that. So that we let the cruise line take care of bringing us to Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, Qatar. So, we've used cruises to take us to many, many places around the world that would have been, we probably would have never gotten to.
Mm-hmm. I think
if,
you were here
we
in
done it by land.
Yeah, I think you were here in Australia not so long ago. Is that right?
We were.
Well, we were, first of all, we did a cruise there, and it is one of our favorite moments on a cruise ship is Sydney Harbour. I have to say, it is quite lovely, just absolutely beautiful. But yes, on a non-cruise trip, we were just there a couple of months ago and got to take in the Formula One racing in Melbourne. So that was quite exciting.
So just finally, how do your family and friends, the land-based ones, think of, what do they think about this lifestyle? I mean, they probably don't get to see you as much as they'd like to.
Well, you know, it's funny. We've always said, long before we retired, we always said, when we retire, we're out of here. We are going to go see the world. And cruise ships are a massive, massive part of how we do this. So they were really well primed for the idea before it happened. Do they miss us? I think so. I say they do. But they really understand that this is just, it's what makes us happy. And our family really does just want us to be happy. So they get it. They understand it. They all love cruising. Most of them do.
Our last cruise, our brother and sister-in-law were on that cruise ship with us. So yeah. They join us. My sister has joined us and her husband as well. So when it's possible, they'll join us.
Yeah. Well, you two sound so happy. You sound like pigs in mud. You're that happy.
Well, that's one thing to call us. No, we love our life. It's literally, we pinch ourselves every day saying, wow, we are so, so very fortunate, so lucky. And we just love it. We love what we do.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on Nightlife to give us a taste of the retirement that you've chosen. Great to speak to you, Heather and Paul.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Suzanne.
That is Heather and Paul Schluter, who are cruising retirees, and they're also behind their own YouTube channel called The Freedom Strategy Retirement Travel.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.